Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Well, I'm excited for today's show. I'm going to be joined by evangelist Reese Hale, and he's got a powerful story of God's redemptive work in his life and how God really redirected his whole life for the sake of the kingdom. You know, never forget that we each have a story, and every story of salvation makes the angels around the throne rejoice. So do this. Keep sharing your story. Keep sharing what God has done in your life and how he's revealed himself to you. You never know who you'll encourage and how you'll encourage them.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of
today we're going to talk about what it means to have a revival of faith, to walk intimately with Jesus, and to live ready for his return. Listen to what Ann Graham Lotz writes in her beautiful book. We've had her on several times. We just love her as a guest on the show. She says this: can you imagine the difference it would make in your neighborhood if every church were filled with people who were filled with the Spirit of Jesus? Can you imagine the difference it would make in your town if every church in every neighborhood were filled with people who were filled with the Spirit of Jesus? Can you imagine the difference it would make in your region if every church and every neighborhood and every town in your region were filled with people who were filled with the Spirit of Jesus? Can you imagine the difference it would make in your nation if every church in every neighborhood and every town in every region were filled with people who were filled with the Spirit of the Lord? Can you imagine the difference it would make in our world if every church in every neighborhood and every town in every region and every nation were filled with people who were filled with the Spirit of Jesus? Imagine that. Well, Reese Hale joins me today to share his story of how God rescued him out of the ashes of his pain, redeemed his life, and now uses him to inspire every person in every church and every nation to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. So let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Reese Hale is a revivalist with an uncompromising message to set the captives free through the power of Jesus Christ. He was introduced to the gospel in 1998 and began following Jesus as a freshman while attending Nebraska Wesleyan University. He serves on the IHOP Kansas City leadership team with the evangelism department. He travels speaking a powerful message that awakens Christians to their personal identity and purpose in the kingdom of God. His message is one that is reviving and practically equipping the body of Christ to demonstrate the love and power of the kingdom of heaven as Jesus is soon to return. You can learn more about him on the web at reesehale.org. Reese, welcome. So glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Susie. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, we love the Word of God here at Live the Promise, so we start every single interview talking about Scripture and love to ask our guests if there's a verse or verses that God's been speaking to them about or if they've got a life verse. You chose two. One is from Isaiah 61. Talk about that passage.
Oh, Isaiah 61 is really, it's become my life and it's my story. Hmm. And as you know, it starts off talking about the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up and to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison, all who are bound. And Jesus has really opened the prison of my life, and I've been able to walk out. And later on in that verse, it talks about how he comforts all who mourns. And I had a very difficult childhood, and as I've come into the secret place and as he's met me there, he has been my comfort, and he has met me in ways that transcends understanding, really giving me beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and he's really planted me, and I'm at the point in my life now and in my journey to where I am finally feeling like this tree or this oak of righteousness that's talked about in that verse, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, Reese, you know, I love what you just said, because your story is my story. I mean, our childhoods are different, you know, but we both probably came to Jesus with some woundedness and brokenness in our soul, and it was healed in that secret place that you're talking about, is that oneness, alone time with the Lord. And you and I were talking before the show about that churches are filled with people who are either numb to the kingdom power because they've either been wounded and have never had it reconciled with God's love, or they never really have come to know. And yet churches are filled with those same people being busy, 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 but missing out on the real kingdom dynamic. And so I know part of what marks your message is just the intimacy with God that changes everything. Say a word about that.
Well, the intimacy with God that changes everything, that is the place where he meets us. And, you know, Psalm 91, he says, come and abide, come and dwell with me in my place, and let me cover you with my feathers. And as we're going through life, there's so many things that eat up our time, that eat up our heart, and we don't know how to deal with ourselves. So we begin trying to look like we're really, we're able to go through and try to become successful and with our...
Or to look the part, even, you know? We can look the part without it changing our heart, you know?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So through the workplace, you know, and part of my story is I became an entrepreneur, and I really tried to find my security in making a lot of money and building a great company, a great business. And so I became a busy guy. I was, even as a Christian, I was leading multiple Bible studies and trying to look like, you know, I had it all together, you know, reading all the books, even having the language, you know, to where people looked at me and thought, wow, this guy really has it together. But inside, you know, I was really broken, and God really wanted me to dial down and to where he could meet me in that secret place and touch my heart in those broken areas.
Mm. Well, you had another verse. Before we get into your story, I want to talk about this verse. You chose Acts 4:29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Talk about that verse.
Yeah, that is so huge. It's out of the secret place in the intimacy where we become fueled and we become excited because of the love of the Lord. You know, we talk about the one who we love the most, and the Lord calls us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. And, you know, typically when you meet somebody, they talk about their spouse, so they talk about their son or their daughter or their workplace. And a lot of times those are the ones that they love the most. And, you know, Jesus calls all of us to do the work of an evangelist and to speak forth with boldness. And when we know the one who loves us so much and we're in love with him, we boldly speak about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord begins to stretch out his arm and do signs and wonders as we share the gospel with people.
Yeah, there is something that's activated when you actually start to step out. And it's, I think it's in Philemon 1:6, it talks about, you know, my paraphrase, but as you step out and engage the culture, as you step out and share what God has done, it shows you what you have inside. It activates something inside of you. You don't even know what you possess, and so you start to draw from that which you possess in Christ. So really powerful. Well, let's look at some backstory now. Take us back to your childhood and what was so difficult about it.
Absolutely. Well, my parents, they were married at an early age, and, you know, my father, he had no father. And part of the story is his father tried to abort him in 1948. So he was raised by my great-grandfather, Reese, who I'm actually named after.
Mm.
And my grandfather said, no, we're going to raise this child as our own. He said this to my grandmother. And so they raised him. And you know, he came into the story with wounds. And so I want to give, you know, some of that background as I come into the story. And so my mother, as she finished up her education, she was a school teacher. My dad was in sales, but he also sold cocaine on the side. Mm. And my mother wasn't having it.
Mm.
And she wanted to protect me. And because of the instability of their marriage with drugs and alcohol, they both ended up in a marital affair. And my mother left Oklahoma City, where I was from, and we went to Southwest Iowa, and she married a man that she thought was going to be her savior, you know, really protect her and take her out of the pit and the struggle that she was in. And he actually happened to be an abusive man. He was an alcoholic, and as a result, he abused me across the board, emotionally, physically, intellectually, and sexually. And so it was awful. And so my self-worth and understanding of who I was, you know, it drastically changed. I was a bold, fiery little boy, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 years old. And before I know it, I become this insecure child that doesn't really want to have interaction, you know, with people, doesn't know how to relate. And then as each year passed, I became incredibly insecure, and going back and forth between two cities, being the tug of war rope, if you will, you know, between both of my parents. And so as a result of that, I was really wounded. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was 13, I confronted my mother, and I just said, look, you know, you're an alcoholic. I want to come and move with my father. And during that time, actually, my father called me and said, I have lung cancer. And he passed away when I was 13.
Wow.
And I was with him for the last week of his life. And as an only child, that was a hard thing to deal with. And he was really my hero. He was the one who was always there, who he edified me, encouraged me. He told me, you know, you can do anything you want. You know, you're a stud. You're awesome, son. And I didn't hear that type of talk was not normal in my household. It was more, you know, you're a piece of junk, you're trash, you know, and that type of thing. And my mom didn't know a lot of that was actually happening with her husband.
Mm.
And so when my father passed away, it just destroyed
like your
my
protection,
heart.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. Mm. And so it was just about 6 months after that my mother finally got her second divorce. After they went through about a year and a half of trying to fight for it, counseling, and it just didn't work for their marriage. And so that was a real struggle growing up. And then at that point, it was trying to figure out how to put the pieces back together.
When did you finally tell her about the sexual abuse and the physical abuse?
You know, really, it wasn't until my late 20s mm-hmm. that she found out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really started to talk about it right in my early 30s when I started to go through deep inner healing and through counseling and started to talk to her about it so we could really have some solid reconciliation in our relationship.
Yeah. And how did that land on her? I mean, how did she process that? I can only imagine.
She was crushed. And in fact, I can remember it was 2010. I was in my office on a Saturday doing some extra work, and she called me. And we started to talk about it. And I said, Mom, why did this happen to me? What was going through your head? I want to hear your part of the story, because I really want to be able to forgive you for everything. I want us to put the pieces back together the way God intended, because he didn't intend for any of this to happen to me. And I know that you were just trying to do the best that you could. You were just trying to make the best choices with what you had. So let's just talk about this. And once we started to do that, she did the perfect thing. I was so amazed with her humility. She just cried. She just began to cry. And she goes, Reese, I just hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. Mm. I was just trying to do the best that I could. I didn't know that this was happening to you. I love you more than anything.
Mm.
And, you know, everyone's story doesn't work out that way. But it's so easy to forgive when someone comes to you with that amount of humility. And she admitted her fault. And I wasn't expecting that of her. I just wanted to start the conversation.
Mm.
But she asked for that, and of course, right away, I couldn't even speak. I couldn't. I was so undone when she said, "Can you just find it in your heart to forgive me?" Absolutely. I'll come and wash your feet. You bet.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about when Jesus is on the cross and he says, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I remember blogging about the whole idea of most, if not all, sin is based out of ignorance. We just don't know what we're doing, and so even when we hurt each other, we have no idea what we're doing.
Right.
Don't you think? I mean, it's like truly that is where his compassion, because he knew that we just didn't know. And God forgive us. I think that's where most of the wounds happen in the church, is we speak on things that are too wonderful for us at times and make judgments based on partial information. And I know that's another big part of your heart, is to see the church healed, that you not only, I hope it's okay to say this, you not only want to evangelize the lost, but you want to see the church revived. And when you said that, something quickened in me, because that's so my heart too, Reese, is there are just too many people in church who are living numb or playing the part, and their hearts are not engaged. As Jesus says, you know, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Some feel that their heart is far from them because they're just broken and hurting and wounded. And I love that you were tenacious enough to say, Mom, I want to put these pieces back together. Help me.
That's right.
That's a good son. Good for you. I mean, to want healing enough for yourself and for her to go after that.
Well, you know, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, too, if you can't forgive others, he says, I will not forgive you. And he's serious about it.
That's
and,
right.
And I really believe that this is important for us. There are so many in the church who are walking away with deep wounds of the past, of unforgiveness and bitterness. So much of the sickness that we see is a result of unforgiveness. So much in the anxiety. Our nation, as we know, so many are depressed and have anxiety. We are heavily medicated. And really what we're needing is we're really needing to forgive.
Mm.
And You know, he's given us that forgiveness. He's come and cleansed us and washed us. And it's hard. It's mm-hmm. This is not an easy thing. I don't want to just say, hey, you can just forgive. We really have to ask him, Lord, help me to forgive. And when we begin that dialogue with him on a vertical level, it then changes our relationship. And then on the horizontal level, we can then begin offering that to others because it's really his power in the mm-hmm. first place. Mm-hmm. It's not in our sinful nature, but it's in our new nature that he's given us. And when we begin to tap into that new nature from heaven, mm-hmm. it becomes an upside down well, and the kingdom of heaven can flow into us, and it flows out of our mouth, and it's supernatural. Forgiveness is supernatural.
You know, your mom must just marvel when she looks at what you've been through as a young boy and who you are now. She's just got to marvel, but it's such a testimony of the redeeming work of God.
It is. It really is all about him and what he has done in me. And I can't boast in and of myself. I mean, it is solely a work of the cross and of the blood. And, you know, we've not even talked about it yet in the segment, but I was a prodigal too. I walked away from the Lord for a number of years.
And tell me what inspired that. I mean, what would you say it was just unresolved brokenness on your part?
A lot of it was unresolved brokenness. And then also thinking, Lord, because I've given you my life, you're going to give me this. You know, it's going to be like this trade that goes on, you know. And, you know, the Lord wants to give us good things, you know, because we're sons. But he also promises us suffering, you know.
Hardship.
James talks about, mm-hmm. consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the testing your faith to the perseverance unto maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as he wanted me to mature, he let me go through some things because he's a good father. But I didn't respond according to the word. I responded my way. Mm. And I, you know, I was a little bitter. I said, look, you know, I'm single. I haven't, you know, found that spouse yet. I'm working really hard. And I'm not finding fulfillment in my work. And I was really looking for fulfillment in my work. And so I had bit off a part of the gospel, but not the whole gospel. And part of it was I had received some of the forgiveness through the blood, but at the same time, I hadn't actually received his love.
Mm.
And I didn't know how much.
His love is what keeps us, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I found that, you know, I was really trying to find my value and my identity and my work and in the things that I achieved in the world. And he was saying, I want you to find your value in me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to find your value that I actually created you, that mm-hmm. I have a plan, that I have a destiny, that my thoughts about you are more than the pieces of sand that cover the seashore,
mm-hmm.
that it's more wonderful than you can even imagine. And I want you to meditate on how I feel about you, that mm-hmm. I actually desire you. And I want you to begin to feel my love, Reese, that this isn't some just cerebral thing that's happening. This is something you can actually tangibly begin to feel in your heart if you would just dare to let me in and dare to let me into those tender places. And so handing over some of the heaviness of wanting to have a spouse relationship. So then, like a lot of guys, I took it into my own hands and, you know, I began taking control of my life.
Mm.
And the more I controlled it and the more that I held back from him, it began to separate us.
Mm.
And there was a chasm between the two of us. And so I began to walk down a road of, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start looking for a spouse because I wasn't finding someone in the church that I felt that was, this sounds funny because I began to fall away, but even equally yoked.
Hmm.
And so in that, I started looking around and then I started to lower my standard. And I know a lot of young people begin to lower their standard because they're not finding a person that they really feel that they're emotionally, physically, spiritually, and intellectually connected to. So then as a result, I began to look and then I just thought, this isn't going to happen, you know? And so as God and I, as I begin to push myself away from him and from truth, I begin compromising.
Hmm.
And
what was going on in your spirit? I mean, when you know, nothing can separate us from his love. You know, did you get was there a conviction that was bothering you? Did you get even kind of numb to that the farther you walked away?
Boy, that's a great question. And yes, conviction, you know, my heart was touched and I really quenched the Holy Spirit. I really did and grieved the Holy Spirit. And so I began to drink. So I could numb out the conviction.
Mm.
And so when I would go out to the bars and clubs and places like that with friends, it really separated me from the Lord. And so that's where that numbing came in. And then that became more of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I began pushing away prayer. I began pushing away the scriptures. And I had really had experienced quite a bit of intimacy with the Lord throughout college and in my early years. And so that was a hard thing, and I began just to quiet that down.
Hmm. And so what brought you back?
Well, I had a mentor tell me when I was young, Reese, you heard enough until you have to, or you know enough until you want to. And I was hurting. I was hurting enough. And I would just cry out to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, take me back, Lord. Take me back. Don't give up on me. And it, I think it was just his wooing that he never turned his back on me. And I always knew that that he would call me back. And so I had gotten to a point to where I was, I just said, Lord, I can't do this 50-50 thing anymore. I need to have, I need to put all my chips in. You know, I was talking to you earlier about how we're like a house and we have rooms in our house. And if we only give the Lord 50% of the rooms that are in our house, and it doesn't work out. We need to instead of us owning the keys, we need to say, Lord, here's the keys to my house. I want you to be in charge, and I'll come and live with you, and you can have all the rooms. Mm-hmm. And so then that way there's not sections of our life to where we segment things and silo our life and keep it from him. Yeah. And that's where we hide, and he knows. Mm. He knows. But once I hand it over to him, and so that's really living a life to where you're really crucified with Christ, and you say, here are the chips. I give them all to you. You can have all 10 rooms in my house. Mm. And that's really where I began to experience the freedom, where I handed everything over and said, I can't do this way mm-hmm. anymore.
Yeah, you know, sin really has its season of pleasure, but then it wears itself out.
Does it ever.
Yeah, and then you get tired of it, right? And God is right there. And I marvel at his grace and his unrelenting love, that he just doesn't give up. And I've said this on the show so many times, but, you know, we have so little grace for each other and being people of in process. But God is so aware of our process. And what I say this quote, too, probably way too much, but it's my favorite from Graham Cook. And he says, God is not disillusioned with you. He never had any illusions about you in the first place.
That's right.
I love it. I mean, because he knew full well what he was getting when he got us. But I just know that there are just countless people who've wandered from the faith and whose loved ones are absolutely brokenhearted. And how would you say to pray for them? I mean, do you pray that they experience the Father's love? Yes, of course. Would you pray that they be healed? Is there anything else when you think of where you were at, the kind of prayers that you would love, that you think would be a good thing for a mom or a spouse or a friend to pray for that person who seems to have walked away?
Absolutely. I think one of the good prayers to pray is that he would put people in their path, relationships. You know, when mm-hmm. when we have relationships with people that love the Lord and we see that light around us, we know. Mm-hmm. And so that light begins to speak to our heart. And that I think that's a real powerful thing mm-hmm. to pray for those relationships. And just that they would experience the love of the Lord, and that there would just be a peace over them, you know, that the water would be stilled, you know, in their mm-hmm. life again. Mm-hmm. And so that they would begin to go after him and not after the things of the world that continue just to take them away and getting into a vicious cyclical cycle of sin that can cause bondage.
So when you started to cry out for help and kind of turn your back on that sinful lifestyle and you started to move towards him, how long before you felt the peace of God just inviting you back? Do you know what I mean? Did you sense something right away that you just knew when you turned around that I'm on the path again? You know what I mean?
Right. I do know what you mean. It was a real fight for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, Susie. Mm-hmm. It was cloud by day, fire by night. Mm. You know, really, when I had a great encounter with the Lord in 2008, I thought there was going to be a big shift. When I was crying out to the Lord in my room one night, he really met me. And I could hear the voice of the Lord. And from there, during that season, I knew that things were changing. But there was a big fight, and it actually got worse before it got better for me. Mm. And as I began going through some Christian counseling, it really got worse as I began to open up my wounds and see really how hurt I was. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's true for a lot of people. When we actually see, when we begin to peel back that Band-Aid and look at that wound, it can mm-hmm. it can really shake us up when we come underneath that microscope and say, oh, my goodness. But as you said earlier, the Lord's not surprised, you know. He still delights in us. He still desires us. And he actually, it's his mercy and his grace that we begin to have a revelation, because then it's at that point that we can invite him into that wound and we can hand it over to him and we can actually begin to heal. And so he's not upset with us. You know, he says, my son, my daughter, come to me. I want to come in and I want to pour my love into that place.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, that love begins to cover that multitude of sin, and we can find reconciliation in our relationships, and we can even forgive ourselves for the things that we've done as a result of the sin that's been done to us.
Mm, that's so good. I know this is not the most picturesque analogy, but it fits. It's like, you know how when you have the stomach flu coming on, nobody sees it, but you're like green as all get out. You're like, oh, well, I don't like where this is going. And you look basically normal, maybe a little pale, not yourself, but you're sick. But then you go home and then you get sick and you want to just like burn your pajamas after, and that's not pretty. There's no way to make the stomach flu look good. I don't care what anybody says. It's the worst. But then you get through it and you come on the other side. Food tastes better. The birds sing louder. The sky is bluer. To me, that is a picture of that inner healing process. You might kind of be a little pale. You're not functioning full, but you look like a normal person. But when you go through that healing, things are unearthed and it's messy. But it's the only way to get to the other side of freedom, where you can really taste and see that God is good, you know?
Don't you? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah, sorry about that picture. So if it made you nauseous, we'll move on, okay? Well, I'm really glad you tuned in today. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson talking to Reese Hale. He's an evangelist, revivalist. We just wanted to get some backstory of his journey, where his passion for Jesus comes from. And his passion comes from the fact that Jesus has a passion for him, and he has a passion for you. So when we come back, we're going to hear more about Reese's ministry and his call to just see the church revived and to see the lost found. Really glad you tuned in today. I've got a question posted on Facebook. I want you to check it out. We'll pick a few of you and get you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Go to Facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. We'll be right back.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust.
Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. My guest today is Reese Hale. He's an evangelist, a revivalist, and if you just tuned in, you're going to want to catch the whole show. So go to our website once the show is over and catch his backstory, because it's really, really important for the message today. MyFaithRadio.com. Go to MyFaithRadio.com. And Reese, you're just giving us the backstory of your childhood. Boy, pain, abuse, heartbreak, loss. I lost my dad this last year, but I'm a grown adult. I'd be 13 years old and lose your dad. I, you know, can't even imagine. You can just see, you know, from the outside looking in, how the enemy saw your potential long before you ever did and was wanting to take you out. But in the midst of it all, God redeemed your life. And here you are now as a young man full of passion for the Lord. So how would you describe your ministry?
Oh, my goodness. My ministry is really done out of the secret place, mm-hmm. and really out of the place of prayer. And that's exactly what fuels me, and the Father's love. And so then when I get out into the world and I'm walking around on the streets, or I'm going to a Chipotle or something like that, it's really releasing the identity that I have and wanting people to actually come into the understanding of who Jesus is.
Mm. You and I talked before the show that's the same for me. It's just everything comes from that place and is born out of that place. And so it's a non-negotiable place for me. It's like other mm-hmm. things can get in line and take a number. I'm not giving up my time with the Lord,
no way.
You know, and we have Tammy Brown in the studio with us today. And some of you've heard, she's been on the show a couple times before. Her son, Matt Brown, evangelist and author, has also been on the show several times. And Tammy, just want to say welcome, bringing you into the conversation.
Thank you.
Good to have you, sweet
it's
little thing.
Good to be here.
You should see her. She's cute as a bug. Anyway, you two went to Chipotle last night. Speaking of Chipotle,
right.
And this is normal life for you two crazy people. I just love. I mean, this is how Tammy lives. So every time she introduces me to a friend, they're like-minded in that you guys will talk to total strangers and pray for them. And again, I'm more introverted, so this is audacious to me. And it is what we're called to share the love of Christ. But when people do it like you guys do, I'm so inspired. So, Reese, tell us what happened. You met this guy who worked at Chipotle, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, he was a guy who was cleaning up, you know, at the end of the shift, and I noticed that he was limping, And I just said, hey, brother, what's going on, man? What happened to you? And he just said that he had a torn ligament in his ankle. Mm. And I said, man, I tell you what, this might sound a little strange, but I would really love to pray for you. Mm. And he said, yeah, sure. So I just knelt down and put my hand on his foot and prayed for him. And right there on the spot, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus healed him right there, mm. you know. And he goes, oh, my goodness, I feel this warmth and this tingling in my ankle. And he got healed. Mm. And then I just began to say to him, you know what? You know, Jesus, you know, he died for us so that your body could be physically healed. But what he really wants to do is heal your heart, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to be his son. Mm. And I said, are you into spiritual things, man? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I actually gave my life to Jesus about a year and a half ago. And so I wanted to dig a little deeper to see how the journey was going. So I said, how's the journey going with him? And he said, well, it's going okay. I'm not really involved in a church or anything like that. And I said, well, you know, the church is designed for us just to be able to have relationships and stay hot, you know, to mm-hmm. stay in the fire. But what do you think about, you know, signing back up again, you know, and recommitting your life, you know? And he's like, yeah, I really want to. He goes, I need to. And so we prayed together and just asked for the Holy Spirit to just come and, you know, set him on fire again and touch him. And he really felt that. And he was just smiling. He was jumping up and down, you know, after we got finished up. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I'm healed and I feel great.
That's amazing. Well, I want you to talk to that person, Reese, who's listening today, who looks like you did as you're an entrepreneur. You were part, I think, a part owner of a thriving business, or
I was a founding member of a company called Into Publishing when it happened to be one of the fastest growing companies in the United States, and it still is.
Wow!
By Inc. Magazine, 2011, 2012, and so it's growing leaps and bounds. And it's a publishing company that makes magazines for cities and homeowners associations.
Wow.
So I helped develop the foundation of that, and it's a Christian-owned company.
Wow.
And so it's...
That's no small thing. But I'm thinking, we have more men listening, by the way, than women. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a pretty strong male listenership. But I know that I'm thinking of somebody listening today who looks like you do and did, you know, successful, entrepreneurial, but deep inside has father wounds and that ache that they don't even have time to slow down to pay attention to. What could you say to that person?
The first thing that I would say is don't run from the reality that it's okay to need healing.
Mm.
The Lord is a healer. And Isaiah 61, the message that we opened up with, you know, that he actually wants to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted. We can't have our wounds healed unless we confess our wounds or say that they exist. And he wants to come in. So, you know, if we can develop relationships with for guys, other men or women, other women, that can be really helpful and begin talking about those things. And some of us, we have, you know, we really need counseling. We really need to have someone who is a Christian counselor that can walk us through some of those things. And, you know, being a guy who, you know, loved authors like John Eldridge and other guys, and I would read Wild at Heart, and I would teach those kinds of some of their different teachings with other, you know, young men. I thought that I had, you know, been healed up, and really I needed to go deeper, and being willing to go deep and go into some of those things of, hey, what are some of the losses that were in my life, revisiting those. And not that we always need to go down and dig, but sometimes we do, and especially if we're seeing sinful patterns in our life, and that's one of the telltale signs. If we're seeing those sinful patterns, whether it be pornography, whether it be different types of addictions, whether it be issues of control, and anger is, you know, a telltale sign. If we're seeing those things show up in our life, that is probably a good sign that there are wounds there that we really need to get some help.
Or if there's an area of just repeated lack of victory where
Absolutely.
You cannot get on top of this
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah. Wow. And so they slow down and they just ask God, show me these areas that need to
right.
be healed. He'll make a way, right? Even amidst your busy, busy life, he'll find a way and make a way to lead you to still waters.
He does.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find that we actually need to cut some things out. Some of us avoid, you know, it by staying so busy.
Mm.
And we live in a society that moves faster than ever before with technology, with more things to do, more opportunity. And really a lot of us, quite frankly, in order for the Lord to meet us, we need to say, enough is enough. I'm going to find the Lord Lord, he says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's a promise.
That's right.
And so some of us, we get to the point where I said earlier, we know enough until we want to, or we heard enough until we have to. We say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to draw near to the Lord. And
he'll draw near to you.
He absolutely does. And he'll meet us there. And we can begin to do that through worship, you know, through spending time in the scriptures, praying through the scriptures, and really dialing down and meeting that with him and with others.
You know, just this morning during my time, I was reading in Isaiah, and it was, you know, talking about he makes streams in the desert. And I've read that a thousand times, but the line right after it said, so he could give his chosen people a drink. And I thought, wow, I mean, a stream in the desert is contrary to nature, but he brought a stream to give his chosen people a drink. And so to me, that's such a picture, again, wherever you're living, no matter how much of a rat race your life feels, I just know I'm thinking of the dad with kids and bills and schedule and how can I get there from here? But I think you're right. Stop where you stand. Cry out to him. And he'll make a stream in that desert somehow so he can give you a drink. And we seek him, we'll find him.
Absolutely.
So good. So good. Well, you think about, especially when you wander off the path. I mean, we all do. We're all prone to wander. We all have a sin bent. But those are the places that enemy will attack, right? And so when you're moving into a new place of ministry, or when you're about to be used by God, that enemy will stir up stuff, try to bring up old stuff. I often say when God is about to do a new thing, the enemy will bring up an old thing because he wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. How do you combat the lies of the enemy and just him bringing up old stuff that isn't supposed to be old stuff? It's a totally different thing to dig in and go, Lord, I want to look at an unhealed area. Another thing for that enemy to bring condemnation or accusation. Mm-hmm. What do you do in your mind and even just practically speaking to stand against the lies so you can keep moving forward in the new identity God has for you?
Well, we know that the enemy is a liar.
That's right.
And so the best way to combat the lie is with the word. It's truth. And in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says the spirit of prophecy is to edify, to encourage, and to exhort. And so there's something very powerful with our words. And so when we speak the truth over ourselves, even out loud. And
faith comes from hearing, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if I'm feeling condemnation, if I'm feeling worthless, if I'm feeling depressed, if I'm feeling down, literally, you know, just speaking out the word of God, just saying it over myself and declaring it and just saying no. And then from there, it begins to actually touch our heart and to say, this is true about me. I'm going to stand on the word. God, help me to feel, I mean, literally asking him, help me to feel this truth inside. Mm-hmm. So it can just not be something that is cerebral in my mind or some knowledge, but that my heart actually agrees with it.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like, God? Show me. Mm-hmm. And then he meets us when we invite him into that place.
Well, he rewards those who diligently seek after
him.
That's amazing. Not only do we have access, you know, I mean, if you tried to meet with the president or some big CEO, you probably couldn't. But the star-breathing God gives us access to him. You know, so we not only have access, but he rewards us when we go after him. That we would be busy doing anything but that boggles the mind when you think about what we've got, you know. And I just think that we're going to get to the end of our days and go, I had access to him so that I could walk out his purposes. What in the world was I doing drinking muddy water, busying myself with unanointed work, unappointed work? But you know what? If the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. And so, Lord, help us to slow down and be still and know that he is God so we can live out of that place. I really know that's your heart, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. It really is.
Well, we kind of had a lunch, Tammy and Reese and I had, not kind of, we actually had a lunch. Well, Reese kind of had a lunch because he didn't like what he got, but we really had a lunch, didn't we, Tammy?
Oh, so good.
It's really nummy. But you said something that really hit me hard about the fatherlessness of this culture and that you really didn't have a father. You didn't have a healthy picture of what that would be like or should be like. You had the opposite of that. And so how did God heal? I know the answer, but I want you to speak to how he healed your father wound so that you can identify with your heavenly father, but also speak to the issue of fatherlessness in our culture, even amongst families that have fathers.
Absolutely. You know, it's crazy when you even look at suburbia and you have so many of our fathers that are so busy today. And you know, let's face it. Over the high percentage of the divorce rate, you know, it's running rampant. So you have, you know, these houses that are already divided and you have people that are so busy. And so as a result, we have so many that never have a father speak the truth of who they are over their sons and over their daughters. And so, you know, the father's really the one who equips the household and leads the household. And, you know, if you look back at the Hebraic roots, when Shabbat happens, you know, for a Jew, they'll go and they'll lay their hands on their son or on their daughter. And every Friday night, they'll say a blessing over their kids. And they really know how to do life. Mm-hmm. And as a result, that actually really strengthens them, calls them into their place. And just think about this. Over 25% of all Nobel Peace Prizes have been won, you know, the Nobel Prize has actually been won by Jews. And they're such a small percentage of the population. Wow. And I really believe that's connected to the blessing
wow.
of the father speaking over their children because they understand how powerful the word is.
That is absolutely amazing. And so would you say your father wound was healed just by identifying with your heavenly father, just walking intimately with him?
Right, right. Mm. Singing, you know, it's singing songs. Listening to worship, and I've had the privilege of being at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, spending, you know, hours in prayer and worship, singing those songs. And then even as I'm singing and they're playing, I'll begin to speak to the Lord and pray as I'm listening to the words, or get out the scripture and I'll speak it back to him. Mm-hmm. And then I'll listen, I'll dial down, and I'll actually hear Holy Spirit speaking back to me and saying how he feels about me, and it will stir my heart and sets me free. Mm. And that's really the intimate relationship that he desires with all of us. But it takes a little time to do that. It takes some time. It takes more than, you know, 10 minutes, because we have to dial down enough to get our hearts rested. And then in there, he can begin to meet us in that place.
Indeed. One other thing you said during the first part of the show that really hit me was what would happen in our nation. In fact, a lot of the ills of our nation are probably rooted in unforgiveness.
And absolutely.
That's powerful when you think about it. So not only do we need to repent before the Lord and ask him to heal our land, we need to ask for a revival of forgiveness. Imagine if couples start to forgive each other and you know, fathers forgave their sons and sons forgave their fathers. And wow, imagine. And politicians forgave each other, you know?
Right.
I mean, so say a little bit more about that process and what you went through, just even forgiving your stepfather. What was that like for you?
Absolutely. Well, Jesus says, you know, love covers a multitude of sin.
Mm.
And so the way I was able to really forgive my stepfather was I began to meditate on the love that the father had for me and how he had forgiven me and washed me of all of my sin. And then I heard Holy Spirit whisper to me and to say, Reese, the reason that he wounded you so bad is because of all the sin that was done to him.
Mm.
And so I could connect with how much it hurt to be sinned against. So as a result of that, I had compassion for him. I had mercy toward him. And I asked, Lord, give me more mercy. Give me your heart for how you feel about him. And in that place, God began to speak to me. And so as a result, I was able to actually cry out for him and say, Lord, forgive him. Wash him. Lord, wash his feet. I forgive him because you've forgiven me, and I understand the pain that he's been through, and that's why he acted in such a way. And so much of the time, that's why, you know, people have sinned again. That's why their sin exists, because they've been wounded. And so that's how the cycle ends, through understanding the forgiveness that we've received. Love covers a multitude of sin.
Mm. That's just so beautiful, and it's something we so can pray for this nation. It would be just another whole angle of prayer. Lord, bring a revival of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm convinced that unforgiveness causes wrinkles to be shallow, but seriously, what it does in the spirit, in the soul, in the mind, in the body, I think it's just so devastating to life, you know?
Yeah.
And yet many, many Christians walk around just carrying that baggage with them. And but again, that gets dealt with in the secret place. You get back to that intimacy with God in his loving way. He calls you up and calls you out, doesn't he?
He does.
Mm, so good. So good. Well, let's see here. Reese, when and how did the Lord call you into full-time ministry?
Well, I knew that I was in a transition when I was spending time with my counselor. And he just called me out one day. He said, look, Reese, he says, as we sit here and we talk about the three things that really touch your heart, he asked me this question one day. He said, Reese, what is the number one thing that stirs your heart and gets you so excited when you think about it? What is the thing that just makes you weepy and touches your heart when you think about it? And what is the thing that where you know that the Lord needs to actually hold you up with his hands and that you're just hoping, Lord, don't ever drop me? And I said, I think it's going into full-time vocational ministry. And he said, what's stopping you? And I said, I'm so afraid that if I go into that I won't make the kind of money that I want to be able to make in this life and have the kind of things that I want to be able to provide. And, you know, how is it, I just don't know what that could look like for me. And so he said, why don't you pray about that a little bit? So as I continued to pray about that one morning, I just knew that I knew that the Lord was calling me and I had to go. And so I ended up making a shift in the International House of Prayer. Mm. And I was actually waking up one morning and I heard the Lord just say, Reese, I want you to go to the International House of Prayer, do an internship. And I thought, this sounds crazy, but I knew that I had to go. And I was actually interviewing with BGEA, Billy Graham's organization out in Charlotte, for a donor ministry position. And I walked through what's called the Billy Graham Library, and I saw, you know, all that Billy had done in his crusades. And the Lord was just speaking to me and said, Reese, will you give me everything and just take a risk with me and let me lead your life just like Billy did? And I said, Lord, I'll do it. And I just started to weep. And so then I went to the International House of Prayer, not having a clue what this would look like. And I just left everything in St. Louis. And so after 6 months of being there, I knew for a fact that the Lord had called me, and I didn't know what it would look like. And I wrote down a vision statement of wanting to go to the church on a global scale and really speaking to the church body about their identity, who we are as the bride of Christ, mm. and that we are loved, and it says in John 17:24 that He desires that we would be with Him and that we would gaze upon the glory that the Father had with the Son, mm. you know, at the creation of the world before mm-hmm. all had begun, and that we would know Him in that way. And so from there, it began to birth this ministry of having understanding as someone who's an evangelist, that it's out of the place when we know who we are, we begin to speak about the one that we love, that we cherish. Because if we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll talk about Him. And actually, evangelism is actually a form of worship, you know?
Yeah.
It says that all are called to do the work of an evangelist, but not are all called to be evangelists. The evangelist's job, if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, is to equip the body of Christ. And so I knew that the Lord was calling me to help equip the body of Christ, but also tell the body of Christ, this is who you are. And then it's out of that place that you're fueled, that you get hot, and you desire to talk about the one that you love in the marketplace with people, even at Chipotle, mm. or when we're pumping gas, and we can share the love of Christ just in real simple ways with people and begin to share the gospel, and people can actually experience Jesus everywhere we go.
Well, I love the core of your message, because again, it's born out of the love of God. And it's something we talked about during lunch, is that, you know, there's a subtle shift, but it's drastic. And it was testified by this young woman who's told me, she said, I'm just now starting to understand the love of God in my mid-20s, she said, because in youth group, she goes, I know they meant well, but it was always like, seek and save the lost, go evangelize. And she said, the love piece wasn't almost like it was thought to be an automatic, but it wasn't. And so she had areas in her life that needed to be healed. So she thought, did I sign up to be just a little slave where I'm going to go do this? I should do. But she said, once the love of God started to just heal her wounds and unearth her lies and change her life, she couldn't help but help tell someone, let me tell you what Jesus has done. And I think that's the miracle of evangelism, more than you ought to, you should do, you ought to. Yeah. You get to, but first and foremost, it has to start with you, the miracle of God in you. That's what I so appreciate about your message.
Right. It's the only thing that we can do that we won't be able to do when we get to heaven. We won't be able to evangelize, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it while we can now, you know?
But keep the first things first. Get with God and let Him mm-hmm. change your story.
Absolutely. Let Him change your story. And when we encounter that love, and we do it out of that place, and that's what fuels the things that come out of our mouth. And it's not a job. It's not a, you know, try harder, do better type of thing. He's pleased with us now, and then we get to do it on this side of heaven. And it's just really beautiful.
That's so great. We just have a few minutes left. If I could ask, how do you pray for, and what's your greatest burden for the American church, the church in the United States right now? Mm.
For the American church to know who she is. Mm-hmm. I felt like I've heard the Lord say, I wish people just knew how much I love them, how mm-hmm. much I cherish them, how I desire that they would be with me and that they would know me. You know, if you think about how beautiful the Lord is and all of the attributes that no one can ever measure, He wants to be known. And then He wants us to make Himself known to others as well. Mm-hmm. And so, I really believe He wants to call them into that place, and for us to be able to dial down and actually experience Him and just stop chasing the things of the world, because we really, so many of us, without even knowing it, we have a lot of idols in our life mm-hmm. that have stolen from us, and it's his desire to set us free. Mm-hmm. And that's really a burden to me, and I know to him that really hurts his heart.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a great, great time. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person who represents many people, I'm sure, but who needs a fresh encounter with God to understand that love that goes past their knowledge, past their thinking, past even their list of do's and don'ts, but goes into their soul. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Father, I thank you so much that you love the brokenhearted, that you love every single child that you've created, that your thoughts about each one is more than the seas, the pieces of sand that cover the earth, and that you desire that they would be with you where you are. Lord, touch their heart, woo them and beckon them today. I thank you, Lord, that you're not upset with them, that you're not pushing them away, but you want to draw near to them and them draw near to you, Lord. Touch them, set them free, and captivate them. Captivate them with your beauty, with your grace, with your mercy, with your desire, and that let them know that they can trust you with all of their wounds, with all their weakness, even with all the things that they have in their life that has given them strength, that they can trust you with everything. Lord, I bless them and just ask, Lord, that you would pour out your grace and your mercy upon everyone. In Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. Reese Hale, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it so much. And I pray God's blessing on your ministry, that he will do above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or think, according to his grace and power in your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
And if people want to find you on the web, tell us your website one more time.
Well, they can go to awakelove.org mm-hmm. or my name, reesehale.org.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of
to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com, along with podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. You can go to our website and share any of these through email, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, I'm just so grateful that you tuned in today. Pray that your soul was encouraged and even challenged. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be joined by Scott and Bethany Palmer. They're known as the Money Couple, and they've got some fantastic insights to share about handling money as a team and as a couple in marriage. That's tomorrow right here on Live the Promise. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.